Let me tell you about a conversation that happens in millions of households every single week. Someone brings up money. Maybe it's a bill, maybe it's a dream, maybe it's just checking the bank account, and suddenly the temperature in the room changes and someone shuts down and someone gets defensive and someone makes a joke to cut the tension. Someone goes quiet in that specific way that means they're not quiet at all on the inside. And nobody says what's actually happening because what's actually happening has nothing to do with the number in the account and everything to do with every money moment that came before this one. Because what people never tell you about money is it's never just money. It is every conversation you overheard as a kid about why there wasn't enough. It's the parent who worked themselves to death and still couldn't get ahead. It's the shame of the lights getting cut off or the card getting declined, or you're staring at shoes that need to be replaced. It's the belief that is absorbed so early and so thoroughly that it feels like fact that people like you don't get to have money, that wanting more is greedy, that wealth is for other people, that the responsible thing is to want less. Those are not beliefs about money. Those are wounds. And those wounds will never respond to a budget. They don't heal with a financial plan. They run underneath every financial decision you make, every opportunity you accept or decline, every time you undercharge or overspend or sabotage the thing that was starting to work. Until you deal with the wound will deal with you. Welcome back to the Listen Bitch Podcast, episode 20 of the Rebellion season, season 10. And money talk makes people uncomfortable, probably a lot more than any other topic, even more than trauma, you guys, more than forgiveness, more than spiritual warfare. And that's what I'm talking about today, money. And not in the here are five budgeting tips kind of way, but in the why does your chest tighten when you check your bank account? And what does that have to do with what you watch your parents go through? Kind of way, because the rebellion was always about this becoming someone that the system cannot control. And there is no more effective system of control than financial dependency. A broke population is a compliant population, a population drowning in debt, working jobs they hate for paychecks that barely cover the bills, too exhausted to ask questions and too scared to make moves. That population does not rebel. That population just survives. And surviving was never the goal. I'm Brandon Lynette, podcast coach, and my message is your mess is your message. The money story that you've been carrying, the one full of shame and scarcity, and people like us don't get to have that, that is the mess. And today we're going to find the message inside of it. Okay. This episode is brought to you by my balanced omegas. And here's what I know about people who are dealing with money stress, financial anxiety, chronic worry about the future. The new nervous system is inflamed, not metaphorically, literally. Chronic stress produces inflammation in the body, and inflammation affects everything. It affects your mood, your clarity, your ability to think straight and make good decisions. My balance oil is what I reach for every single day, and that's how I've had my nervous system dialed in. Real omega support, clean ingredients, no compromise, because you cannot think clearly about your finances, your calling, or your future when your body is running a five alarm stress response. Okay. The link is in the show notes. There is a blood test available, so you don't have to guess, but 97% of people are imbalanced. Okay. And your mama's fish oil ain't gonna cut it. Okay. You need this balance oil. Go get it. So let's talk about the money wound that you've been carrying since before you literally had your own money. I'll be very clear about this. Wealth is not the enemy of faith. And I'm going to say that again for the people in the back who grew up in the places that spiritualized poverty and called it humility. Wealth is not the enemy of faith. The love of money, the worship of it, the pursuit of it above God and people and integrity, that is the root of evil, as the scripture says. Not money itself, the love of it. The idolatry of it, the making it into the thing you trust instead of God, that is the problem. But money itself is neutral. It's a tool, and like any tool, it does more damage in the wrong hands and more good in the right ones. And this is the reframe that's going to change everything. Money is not the goal. Money is the resource that funds the mission. The more you have it, the more you have earned with integrity, stewarded with wisdom, held loosely with generosity, the more of your calling you can execute, the more people you can reach, the more good you can do, the more freedom you have to say yes to what God is asking and no to what He isn't. Financial sovereignty is a spiritual issue. It is a rebellion issue. A person who is financially free is very difficult to control. They don't have to stay in a job that's killing them. They don't have to tolerate the relationship that's costing them their peace. They don't have to compromise their values for a paycheck. They don't have to be silent about the things that matter because they can't afford the consequences of speaking up. Financial freedom is not luxury, it is leverage. It is the ability to be fully obedient to God without your bank account being the thing that stops you. And this is the money wound in its most common forms. And I want you to listen for the one that sounds like your internal voice because it's going to be here. Okay. There's never enough. That is the scarcity script. It was written in a season of genuine lack, and then it never updated. The person running the script can be objectively financially stable and still feel like they're one emergency away from losing everything. So they hoard. They underspend on things that would genuinely improve their life. They feel guilty every time they buy something that isn't strictly necessary. They cannot enjoy what they have because they're too busy bracing for the moment it disappears. And the cruel irony is that the energy of scarcity, the constant bracing, the closed fist holding, the jaw clenching, it actually repels the abundance that you're trying to protect yourself from losing. Money is dirty. This is the morality script. Usually it comes from religious environments that conflated simplicity with holiness and wealth with corruption. And understandably so, because these are people, that are human, and you've got a lot of people in church showing corruption and bad things. But the truth is, that's why we never put everything, all our faith, all our beliefs, all our anything into man, because man is full of sin. We will disappoint each other every single time. But the person running the script self-sabotages every time they get close to financial breakthrough because unconsciously, making money feels like becoming someone bad. So you've got, coaches undercharging for their services. Not because they don't know their worth, but because charging full price feels greedy. So they give away their time and expertise for free for almost nothing, and then they resent it. They stay small and call it humble when what it actually is a belief that they don't deserve to be compensated for what God put in them. Rich people are evil. This is the class script, and it is a sneaky one because, again, it has some legitimate grievance underneath it. There are very You guys, very corrupt, wealthy people. We know that. We've become their guinea pigs. There are systems that exploit the poor. There are real injustices. But if you've generalized that into all wealthy people got their, got theirs by taking from someone, then you have made wealth itself the enemy. And you'll never build what you're unconsciously convinced makes you a villain. You'll never do that. And I want to tell you guys about a version of me that, offering the real value, genuine transformation, real results, actual skill, charging almost nothing for it. And when people would suggest that I raise my prices, I get genuinely uncomfortable. Not strategically uncomfortable, but like viscerally uncomfortable. All of these money stories have spoken to me in one way or another, and this came out huge. It's like I'd been caught doing something wrong, and I had to sit with that long enough to find where it came from. And what I found was a kid who watched people struggle, who continued to struggle, who was taught that wanting more than enough was selfish, who absorbed the message that good people sacrifice and, bad people prosper. And that kid, that version of me, is running that pricing strategy at I was 30 something years old, right? That kid, that version of me that got stuck in the story, didn't even have the full picture yet. And the day I raised my prices was the day I stopped letting a child, a child version of myself make business decisions on behalf of an adult with a calling. That's when everything changed, and I started seeing the truth in all of these money stories where I catch myself now trying, repeating the same things in front of my kids. And I want to break the generational curse of the idea that there is lack, or just that scarcity mentality. So it is our job as parents to steward this, not just for our own potential and our own calling, but in what we're teaching our children. And so this stuff shows up, like when you're undercharging for services so consistently that you've built a business that cannot sustain you. Like you're working full-time hours for part-time income because somewhere in the pricing conversation, your wound stepped in and lowered the number before you could say it out loud. And then guess what? You listened to yesterday's episode. That's why you're burnt the fuck out and exhausted and resentful. It's because you've been working for less than your work is worth, and you're putting on a mask that this is humility. It's showing up when you avoid looking at your finances altogether. I was so guilty of this, just like praying the card would run through, the bank account you haven't opened in 3 days, right? The credit card statement you scroll past and you don't read it. The business numbers you tell yourself you'll review later, and later never comes because looking at the numbers makes the anxiety spike and avoidance makes the anxiety drop temporarily. And your brain learned that equation a long time ago. Avoidance just feels like relief until the thing you avoided becomes the crisis you couldn't prevent because you weren't paying attention. This shows up in shit like impulse spending as emotional regulation. And this one that doesn't get talked about honestly enough, especially with neurospicy circles. Like when your nervous system is dysregulated, spending produces a dopamine hit. And so the purchase feels like relief, and the new thing feels like a solution. And then the dopamine drops and the account balance stares back at you and the shame spiral starts. Which obviously, you guys, what's that going to do? It's going to dysregulate you further, which then makes you want the dopamine hit again. And that is not a willpower problem. That's a nervous system problem wearing a financial costume. And it responds to nervous system solutions, not budgeting apps. And now you're in the fucking hamster wheel. And then it shows up in your calling when you stay in the underpaid, soul-sucking job because the financial fear tells you the calling isn't safe enough to bet on. And every year that you stay, the calling gets a little quieter and the fear gets a little louder. And it's not because the calling isn't real, because the wound is running the risk assessment and the wound is always going to vote no. Big pharma, big food, big tech, corrupt government, all of it runs more smoothly when the population is financially stressed. Financial stress narrows your thinking. Literally, it reduces cognitive bandwidth in the same way that a computer slows down when it's running too many programs. A financially stressed person cannot think as creatively or plan as effectively or make a good decision as a person whose basic needs feel secure. This is documented, it is measurable. And the systems that profit from your compliance fucking know it. That's why they do what they do. It's been strategic. Financial stress also keeps you sick. The correlation between financial insecurity and physical health outcomes is not subtle. Chronic financial stress elevates cortisol. It's going to suppress your immune function. It's going to disrupt your sleep. It's going to contribute to every major chronic disease category that you can find. And then big pharma, you know what those motherfuckers are going to do? They're going to sell you the solution to the symptoms of the stress that the broken economic system produced intentionally. Then they're going to sell you a product for the side effect that this pill has for you. And then the loop, my God, it's elegant if you're running it and devastating if you're caught in it. Breaking the loop starts with the wound, not the budget, but the actual wound. Because you can have the best financial plan in the world and still sabotage it if the belief system underneath it says you don't deserve to win. The external strategy has to be built on internal healing, or it will keep collapsing back to the level of your subconscious that it thinks you're allowed to have. God is not threatened by your financial success. He is not up there hoping you stay broke so you stay dependent. He is the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he is looking for people who will hold wealth with open hands, steward it with wisdom, and deploy it for the kingdom, and refuse to let it become their identity or their God. That person is dangerous to every system that profits from your scarcity. And I'm telling you today, be that person. Start with the script inventory. Write down the first five beliefs about money you can remember absorbing. Not the ones you intellectually hold now, but the ones from before. What did money mean in your house growing up? What did wanting more mean? What happened to people who had it? What happened to people who didn't? Put it on paper because you cannot update a belief you haven't named, and you cannot name a belief you've never examined. Then find the one place that you are undervaluing yourself financially and correct it this week. One thing. That's it. Maybe raise a price. Send the invoice. Ask for the raise. Charge for the thing you've been giving away. Not as a grand gesture, as a practice, as evidence to your nervous system that you're allowed to be compensated for what you bring, that your work has value, that charging for it doesn't make you greedy, it makes you sustainable. And for my neurospicy impulse spending bitches specifically, build a pause into the purchase. And it not a permanent one. I'm saying a 24-hour wait. Sleep on it. If you still want it tomorrow and the account can handle it, then get it. What you're doing is inserting a gap between that dysregulation and the dopamine hit, which is where your actual decision making lives. Most impulse purchases don't survive the 24 hours, and the ones that do absolutely were worth it anyway. Okay. 20 episodes, you guys, 20 shows of refusing to stay in the systems that were built to keep you small, sick, broke, and compliant. And this one, the money one, come on, bitch, this is practically the most powerful one of all. Because when you heal the wound and build the wealth, you buy yourself something that no system can manufacture, no amount of control can take away. Options. The option to say yes to what God is asking. The option to say no to what He isn't. The option to build the thing, fund the mission, raise your kids with margin, and show up for your calling with your bank account being the reason you can't. That's the rebellion. That is the life. And Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life is the foundation it gets built on. Not hustle, not greed, not someone else's definition of success, but his. If this episode hits, please like the show, subscribe, and leave a written review. It matters more than you know. And then share this. Share the show, okay? Everyone needs this episode. So it doesn't even matter who you share it to. Then head to brandonlinette.com, get on my list, watch the full episode on YouTube. Please subscribe. I'm still trying to build it and I haven't been asking and it hasn't been growing. I guess that's why. Please subscribe to the Listen Bitch Podcast YouTube channel. Make sure you grab my Omega oil in the show notes because a calm, clear nervous system makes a better financial decision than a stressed, inflamed one. And that is science. And if you're ready to stop letting your money wound make your business decisions, please check the show notes to work with me. Okay. Tell me your story. Tell me why you're the one who needs to be heard. I want you on my new show. Tell me what makes you special. Get into my podcast support group. Okay. The wound is not the final word, and neither is the amount in your bank account.